Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
No.
Well, welcome to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle and Chris. I first want to thank all my listeners from north to south and east to west and all my listeners in the 30 countries around the globe. I appreciate y'all for, you know, tuning in each weekend. And also, anybody out there that has a story that you want to tell, you know, come to a sister, because everybody got a story to tell. We can make it do what it do. And call 443-956-8753. And I just want to say thank you to my co-host Chris as well and my guest. But anybody who wants to ask a question from my guest or want to make a comment, hit the one key and I will know on the switchboard that you have a question. If not, you can stay in the mute status. So before I bring my guest, Eric, on, I want to say hi to Chris. How you doing, darling?
Hello, Terry. Hello, viewers. Happy Friday.
Yeah, we got some special, phenomenal guys. Eric, I guess I'm going to pronounce it right. I hope so. The Gete, he'll tell me if it's wrong. You know, he got one of those little French names, but I hope it's right, the Gete. But anyway, Eric, thank you for coming back on, because we was talking before with you about when you're dating a guy who is a deadbeat or whether he's deadly, you know, and because you were so phenomenal, we had so many questions. We had to ask you to come back, and I appreciate you coming back. So with that being said, do you want to say something before I start asking the questions, Eric?
Well, first of all, I want to just thank the both of you for inviting me back on, and I just want to say rest in peace, Brother DMX.
Oh, he passed away.
He passed away today.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I know they have been in induced coma because they said he had a heart attack from overdose of drugs, but he did pass away.
Yeah, he was on life support, and, you know, he passed away today with his family around him. So, you know, it's just tough to see so many people from my generation, from the music that I listened to as a teenager and in my 20s, you know, to see them, you know, pass away like this. So it's I just wanted to give a shout-out to him and his family.
Amen to that. People don't know.
Right.
DMX, he's an icon. Man.
He is.
That, you know, he had to go out that way. You know, I hear the people say when you make a little bit of money, you know, drugs become a part of his lifestyle, but you can kick it. You don't have to make it a part of your lifestyle. So I'm going to get back from him, but I'm getting to your story because I'm going to tie it in, matter of fact. A lot of people in the music industry, because they're well-known, they got money, they got drugs, they got all these females up in their face trying to give it away. So they're hoping that they give them some, you know, the JJ, if they're pregnant, they may be set for life. You know, so with that being said, how could a young lady understand whether a person got money or not? What is one of the warning signs that you know, baby, this is all number the booty call, this is a deadbeat, this is not a real relationship?
What are the warning signs that it won't be a good relationship, or is it a domestic violence warning sign? Which one?
Well, hit on both of them. You know, how do you know that they just want you for what you got to give, not for no long-standing relationship? A lot of people are confused with someone is talking nice to them or something, or give them a kiss or stuff like, oh, they love me, and don't be love.
Right. Well, to me, when a man, to me, this is just my opinion, when a man his conversation is basically about sex, and he is, you know, he's making a lot of these, you know, sexual innuendos, and he's undressing her with his eyes, you know. I could just give you a clear example. When my marriage ended, I, based on the advice of a friend of mine or some friends of mine, tried the online dating. And, oh, my God, that's a whole nother show in itself. But anyway, So I had a few women that would say, by the way, thank you. And I said, for what? You didn't ask me for any new pictures. And I'm like,
wow,
are you serious? Yeah. I said, are you serious? I said, what am I, 12? So you think about it. It's if you're coming straight out and asking a woman that you just met, y'all kicking it on the phone or texting or whatever, and then, you know, you're asking her for a new picture, that's a definite warning sign. Because, I mean, come on. You know, I understand, you know, we are sexual beings. I get all of that. But when I would talk to young men, I would say, look, you want to meet somebody that you have a lot in common with, because you can't have sex 24 hours a day. You got to get out of bed at some point, okay? So that's a definite warning sign. A warning sign as far as domestic violence, to me, would be someone who is 30 or 40 years old and they are going on 15. Okay,
exactly.
That's a definite warning sign. That's a definite warning sign because, let's say, for example, you continue to go out with this man that's showing this level of immaturity, and he impregnates you of someone acting immature and not acting their age. Do you want to take the chance and say this person is going to be responsible? So you got to, you know, women have to really pay attention to. I developed something called an IIHM, and it's called Is He Mature?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a questionnaire, and I'll give all the information at the end of the show on how I want to give this out to women, and they can look at these questions. Because if you are observant and you are asking the right questions, you could cut down that you know, the amount of times that you talk to him and going out, you could cut that down in half by just asking certain questions related to his maturity level or just by observation. So to me, it has a lot to do with maturity.
Wow, you're absolutely right. Wow.
Right.
I'm gonna hit on some more of that, but I'm gonna let Chris ask this question first, but
Okay. Hello, Eric. My question is, I don't know if you've asked, I don't know if you talk to the men, but my question is, why do so many men act childish and, you know, regarding, like, and be deadbeat people? I mean, you know, that's just a question. Do they have, like, mommy issues? I mean, you know, that's just a question. I don't know if you question men like that, but just a question that I had.
Mm-hmm. Well, to me, the maturity level, it has to do with the people that he grew up with. It has to do with the people that he's hanging out with. Like, for example, let me give an example. When I was growing up in Brooklyn, we had friends. Everybody had friends. Everybody had their own little cliques. You had the clique that the only way they can have fun was to either get high or get drunk. My clique, our high was laughing. So you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like it has to do with who you're connected with. And that's what I see. When I see a bunch of men that are immature, they're all immature because that's their clique. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, that is their clique. So it, to me, it has a lot to do with who you're hanging out with, and basically how you were raised, the things that you saw. Because a lot of men did not see examples of real men. You see what I'm saying? They didn't see an example of a real man on how he should treat a lady and how he should respect the lady. So there are so many different variables as far as an answer to that question. It just has to do with who he is hanging out with on a continuous basis. It has to do with how he was raised. It has to do with what he saw when he was a child as far as what he saw as far as, you know, how to treat women, things of that nature. And that is one of the warning signs in my book, is to tell women, you know, and share with women, be observant. Look at his, look at who his friends are. Look at how he behaves. Look at how he carries himself. And if you see that he's carrying himself in an immature way, get past his body. Get past what he's driving. Get past all of that and really ask yourself, if I go move forward in this relationship and take it to a sexual one and I become pregnant and he impregnates me, is he going to be there? And that's what women have to think about.
Yeah,
did I answer your question?
Yeah, yeah, you did.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, you know, it's just sad, though, Eric, that a lot of women, even older women, like you said, in their 40s, they're putting up these men that are acting like children, but they're just male adults. You know, the problem I have is that some of these women, you know, they don't care. And they know that the guy is immature. They just want somebody in that bed, and they want to brag that he got a man, because I've had a person brag to me that they had a man, and I wasn't impressed because he wasn't doing nothing. She was taking care of him, and she acted like, woo, 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 I got a man, you single. Baby, don't get it twisted. I'm single by choice because everybody ain't going to jump into my cookie jar just because they want some. You know, I have standards, so if they can't meet these standards, I'm too old to be playing little games, you know, and they keep it moving. I'm serious about that.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Moving from Brooklyn, New York to North Carolina, one of the things, there's two things that really shocked me. The number of interracial relationships and marriages, because I just thought that, you know, the South is, you know what, the South has a reputation of racism. So I was really shocked at the number of interracial relationships and marriages. But the other thing I was shocked at is the number of women I, you know, seem to have met on the job who were with men who didn't work. And I was really shocked by that because, I mean, in New York, you know, from my experience, it was like, yo, if you can't afford to take me to a movie, I'm not dating you. You see what I'm saying? And you can't get mad at that. Right. I mean, you can't get mad at that. So I just think that at some point, women just kind of give up, and they settle. That's the best word that I can say. They settle for the sake of having somebody in their life. And trust me, a man will only do what you will allow him to do. I just wanted to say, if he knows that, hey, you know, I can come and I can use her car and I can come in and out of her crib and all that type of stuff, if she good with it, I'm good with it.
Exactly.
And that's the mentality.
That's what it is. You know, some women, they don't even have to be beat down. They don't even have to be low self-esteem. Some people, that's just how they fear, you know. I don't know where they saw their parents, where the mother was, you know, doing all she could for the man, and she felt like this is how it's done, you know. But that sounds stupid to me, but maybe that's because I was raised watching something different, you know. And I don't mind a man being the head of the household if he can lead. But if he's a knucklehead, he can't lead me no way, you know. But he's got to, you know, act like, you know, I'm his queen, he's my king, and you put us on that pedestal of respect, you know, and that respect means that, okay, you want to do what you can to provide for the house. I'm going to do what I can to make sure you feel uplifted and you feel needed and necessary, you know. But I don't get it. I don't get it, maybe because I'm from a crowd of people who don't play that sugar, honey, iced tea.
Right. Yeah. And I don't blame you. You know, I'm listening.
Yeah, I guess my next question is, you know, so many people, you know, they think if a woman stays or if a woman treats the man like the man treats them, that they deserve what they get. Like, you know, they think, you know, if the guy's a deadbeat and the woman stays, then they then she gets what she deserves. What's your input on that?
So if the guy's a deadbeat and she decides to stay, that is she has to question her own self-worth.
Yeah.
You know, as a man who has three daughters, you know,
mm-hmm.
what I've told them, and they're all at the age of dating, 26, 22, and 18. And I've told them all, if they don't treat you as well as I treated you as a dad, they're not good enough.
Exactly.
So,
right.
I mean, that's just where it's at, you know. And,
yeah.
and you have many women who struggle with that self-worth, you know,
mm-hmm.
About themselves. Yeah. And let me say this to you. A man knows when a woman has low self-esteem.
Yeah.
He knows that. He can sniff it out. And unfortunately, a man who cares about you will say, you know what, I see that her self-esteem is a little low, but I'm going to do whatever I can, you know, to pick her up. And then you have the others that will, you know, take advantage of that information and use it to his advantage. That's why it's sad, because we don't have enough big mamas anymore.
Right.
And that big mama was that 65-70-year-old woman who would sit down and give that wisdom and knowledge, you know, about life and things of that nature. That's why I love my mom so much, because, you know, when we would go and visit her with my daughters, I would leave the room
mm-hmm.
and just let them be in the room by themselves, because
mm-hmm.
I know my mom is going to drop some jewels on them. That had nothing
yeah.
to do with me. I wanted them to have that time with their grandmother, because I know that she was going to take advantage of that time and talk to them about what they need to know as young women. It's not enough of that anymore. You know, it's just not enough of that, and that's what's needed. So to me, to answer your question, you know, it has to do with a woman not knowing what her self-worth is. And it's unfortunate that a lot of men, you know, take advantage of the fact that he knows that she doesn't have, you know, high self-esteem.
Well, for the women out there who's listening and who are young and naive, because I would hate to think older woman be an old fool, but what kind of signals do these ladies give off that lets y'all guys know that they can play them? Or that they have no self-esteem, what do they do? Because a lot of people are doing stuff and inadvertently don't realize how it looks to other people.
Right. I think one of the smooths women get off is when a man starts to date a woman. And I actually went through this before. I actually have gone through this when I was dating. And I was dating someone, and the woman was very attractive. But
mm-hmm.
her words about herself was, you know, I know you date women that look a lot better than me. And I'm looking at this woman and I'm saying, this woman is extremely attractive. And
she say that?
Right. Yeah. I've dated a few women that would have that would make those types of statements, you know, and it's like, you know, what are you talking about? You're gorgeous, you know, you're a very attractive woman, and I don't know what it is. I don't know, you know, it's tough when you hear someone put themselves down, because
mm-hmm.
it's like, well, you know, what do I say? How do I approach this? When it first started happening. And then when it kept
mm-hmm.
happening, even in social settings, when I would work with young women, and
right.
it's, you know, when I was younger, it would be like, you know, I know I don't look this way, and I know I'm too big, and I'm too this, and I'm too that. And I remember telling them, you know, you need to stop putting yourself down, because you're giving out a vibe that will attract the wrong men. Okay? And once a man knows that you have that, not all men, some men, when they hear that thought process, that's where the game plan starts. Where it's like at 1 minute, right. At 1 minute, oh baby, you so fine, you know this and that, so on and so forth, and then the next minute, you lucky to be with me. Who's really coming after you? When we go out, ain't nobody looking at you. Do you see what I'm saying? So you're doing that passive aggressive game playing, and it's an up and down thing, like an elevator. It's up and down, up and down. And I just think that a lot of women, you know, got to be careful with their words, you know, when they are out there dating and they're making these statements about themselves.
You're absolutely correct. Chris, if you have a question, I have a lot, as you know.
Yeah, I guess, okay, well, this is my next question. What do you do, Eric, if you're in a situation or a scenario where you know the guy's a deadbeat, but he hasn't shown that kind of deadbeat, like maybe he was a deadbeat to his ex-girlfriend or ex-wife, but he hasn't showed it to a family member that you have, and he's a deadbeat in disguise, but the woman doesn't know it yet because he hasn't been a deadbeat to her. What would be a good solution?
A good solution would be to continue to be observant, and a good solution is if you are not sure about, you know, whether he's a deadbeat or not, the last thing you want to do is become intimate with him. Because once intimacy comes in, you know, and they have the type of sexual experience where they're quoting Socrates and Aristotle because, the sexual experience is so great, then that's going to cloud your judgment. But if she is not sure about, you know, him as it relates to being a deadbeat, I would say just proceed with caution. You know, but don't become intimate, because I think that's what happens a lot too early for relationships today. I'm fortunate enough to be back with my first love, and what I shared with her, you know, we dated when we were in our 20s, and then 25 years later we're back together again, and what she spoiled me. And what I mean by that is that she gave me who she was. You understand? And it had nothing to do with sex. She showed me exactly who she was. She gave her most valuable thing about her was her personality.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't think it was her body. And then when we broke up when I was in my mid-20s, I was lost because I was still looking for that experience of developing an emotional relationship. But time had passed. And what's interesting is we haven't been together in over 20 years. And she was having the same experiences. And she's like, wait a minute. You know, you don't really want to get to know me. You don't want to have a relationship with me, that type of thing. And I'm looking at it like, okay, I'm not trying to get intimate with you real quick. Can I get to know you? So you see what I'm saying? It's when you introduce sex in a relationship too quick, you don't really have a sense of who that person is. You have a sense of how good or bad they were on an intimate level, but you really don't have a good sense of who that person is.
Yeah, absolutely right. Because that's the whole person would be coming for is where they feel. But, you know, talking about how you just tell a person is a deadbeat. Now, talking about a person is deadly, I've seen some women, you know, that because they were looked upon by their family as someone outspoken, strong, and got it going on, that when they get the man in their life that's banging on them, instead of them telling somebody, they're up there trying to hide their face with makeup from bruises and stuff. And that's something that parents and friends are look for when the person they know, all of a sudden, they become clumsy. Oh, I walked into a door, or I fell down, or they wear a lot of makeup, or their hair is covering their face. You know, they need help. But sometimes they're too afraid to get help because they become scared of that attacker.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this while you were talking. I worked with someone that was involved in a domestic violence relationship, and it broke my heart because this woman was, you know, she had a master's degree. She was very intelligent, very attractive, and when she came to work one day, it was summertime. She had on a summer dress, and she had cigarette burns all over her arm.
What?
And I'm like, you know, where'd you get that from?
That.
Well, she told me because we were friends. She was like, you know, her boyfriend did it to remind her every time she said something stupid.
And why she feels she couldn't get out of that relationship.
And the thing that got me was, you know, because she would always, you know, she always wanted to be around me. And we were just friends. And I just couldn't take it anymore. And I was like, you know, what is this? What type of hold does this man have over you? And you know what her answer was?
What?
You know what her answer was? Her answer was the sex is phenomenal.
Damn that. Come on now. She needs to keep looking at that pool of guys. Give me a break.
And sis, that's when I said, I can't help her. And the only thing I looked at her and said, listen, just don't have any kids with him. And she went ahead and had two with him. So I don't know how she's doing now, but, you know, it's
because of sex, he outwardly put bruises on her that you can't hide it. You can't say you did it to yourself, but she needs mental evaluation and to be staying with a person who does that for the sex. Girl, you could get your vibrator. Come on, man. There's other men out there that's phenomenal. Getting in dating groups. But to be with a person because of sex and he abuses you and you got a master's degree, where's the intelligence of the kitchen at?
I didn't get it. I really didn't. But, you know, I was not expecting that answer. And it's interesting with men like that, and I met him. I did meet him. And you know, well, he was fine because this was at the height of when my fatherhood program in New York was very, very popular. Like, I was on, like, major radio stations all the time. So Fatherhood Voices was very well known in New York. So he just was congratulating me on the program. And the next thing you know, she called me when I got home and was saying stuff like, he asked her, well, if I wasn't around, do you think Eric would try to talk to you? Do you think Eric would try to, you know, be your boyfriend? And she kept saying these things. And I told her, I said, listen, stop. If he has any questions, give him my number. I'll be glad to answer him.
Exactly.
But we all know that most domestic violence abusers are cowards. They'll beat up on a woman, but they won't answer to a man when a man is coming at him like a man. And that's what I did. And it wasn't anything about becoming physical. It was just stop going through your lady. Come to me. Ask your questions, and I'll answer them. He never called me. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he never called. You know, so I'm very sensitive when it comes to the domestic violence because I've met too many good women that were involved in those type of relationships, and it just makes me sick. That was one of the reasons why I ended up writing the book, because I want single women to go on the offensive, to be able to say, okay, before I give you my body, I need to know and I need to be observant of these signs. And this way, if I see these signs, you don't have my body, you don't have my heart, you don't have my soul. We can disconnect and we can go on our respective ways. You know? Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Well, Chris,
right.
I know you got a question. I'm going to let you get your question before it's too late.
Okay, yeah, my next question is, you've done so much great work with all your books. Have you thought about turning one of your books into like a miniseries or a movie? Because I know, you know, people love your books, but I think that, you know, all your books, as far as I can research, would be great movies.
I thought about it. My first book was named Closing the Curtain on Baby Mama Drama. And I actually wrote a full-length play to that. So it is something that I have thought about, and it's something that I probably will explore at some point. Right now, it's just about getting the book out to as many single women as possible, because domestic violence it has increased during the pandemic, and we're not just talking about here in the United States. Globally, 25% increase in China, 50% increase in Brazil, you know, 22% in Portland, 10% in New York City, and then on top of that, you have 31% of women are single.
Yeah.
So think about it. So the chances of meeting
that person, you're getting on each other's nerves.
Right.
Is there anybody who had previously control on you? Their control factor has gone up. You know, then they feel like you ain't going nowhere. Anybody gonna see you? I can smack you around, beat you up, whatever. And a lot of people wind up dead. And you know, they investigate them on 2020 or Dateline because it's real. But people feel like because it doesn't touch them or hasn't touched them yet, somebody they know, they act like it's okay to, you know, go ahead and act a fool.
Right, right. And you're exactly right. It is, you know, I want to say this correctly, and I read this, but it is an abuser's dream. It's a pandemic because you're stuck inside with this person. Your movements are very, very limited. You know that they're either going to be with you. You also know that as far as traveling and going different places is going to be limited because of the pandemic. But the chances of meeting a man with these different types of tendencies is very high. And what women have to be very cognizant of is if they become pregnant by a man who has these types of, you know, who do not want her to have that child due to 9 months by herself, and she has that child, and now she wants to go and do a child support case. That's where most of the murders have occurred, where fathers have murdered the mothers of their children. They were involved in a child support dispute. So women have to think about that. They have to think that if this man is hell-bent on you not having that child and you go ahead and you have that child, what's going to be the next step? Because you have a lot of men, they don't want to be caught up in the system. And that's what motivates them to commit these violent crimes.
Yeah, and one important thing, women are just not missed. The red flags. A lot of women think sometimes when a man says to you, baby, I've been sitting here since 7:30. Where you been at? You late? Or, you know, why are you all fixed up? And so, oh, today I'm going somewhere. You know, initially that's telling you this person has some control issues. But a lot of them people see that as, oh, isn't that sweet? He's jealous, you know, and they miss it because jealousy, you in a relationship coming off like that, you better turn around and you can just bust them like, okay, what's really going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was just thinking about the song from Lauryn Hill called X Factor, which
mm-hmm.
I love that song. And basically, if you listen to the words, one of the lines in this song was, you know, you threaten to leave if I don't stay. You threaten to hurt yourself if I stay,
mm-hmm.
if I don't stay. And that is a form of domestic violence. That's
exactly.
It's mental abuse. It's mm-hmm. mental and emotional abuse because he's basically telling her, hey, you leave me, I'm going to hurt myself. And because she loves him, she stays.
Mm-hmm.
Because she don't want that on her conscience if this dude goes ahead and he harms himself. So you see what I'm saying? These are the little mental and emotional games that these abusers play. And that's why it's so very important to know the warning signs when you are in the dating. And I implore women, look for these signs before you become intimate. And I think not enough is being said and done as far as imploring single dating women. You have to put in the equation looking
mm-hmm.
out for domestic violence tendencies. Forget
exactly.
about all the other, you know, oh, we got so much in common. The third letter in your name is E and mine is E and we're meant to be together. No. I mean, no. We gotta right. You know, we got an instant connection. You know what I mean?
Right.
You have to look. You have to go deeper than that, especially when women that look like you are being murdered simply for having a child and saying, "I need a little help."
Exactly.
And they're dying because of it. Yeah.
Exactly. Well,
right.
Eric, I just want to thank you for being here this Friday weekend,
mm-hmm.
hanging out with me and Chris,
yeah.
you know, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, a lot of books. I want you real quick to tell the titles of your books and how they can get one. And, you know, anytime something else is coming down the pipe, just give me a call and you
mm-hmm.
can always come back, you know. So
okay.
everybody know how to reach
yeah.
you and your
mm-hmm.
books, John.
I will. And the book is still available on Amazon.com. The IHM questionnaire that I developed, Is He Mature? Questionnaire. If anyone
yeah.
wants a copy of that, I'll be glad to send it. Just email me at fatherswithvoices@gmail.com, and that's fathers with an S with W-I-T-H voices, V-O-I-C-E-S @gmail.com, and I'd be glad to send those questions to you.
Well, thank you, darling. Big kudos to you. And, you know, they're talking about the surge of COVID because of spring break and everything. So I just wish you stay healthy and stay safe, you and your family, as well as the same thing to you, Chris. And just be safe
mm-hmm.
this weekend when you're out
you
and
too.
About.
You too.
Yeah, thank you. And I forgot the name of the title of the book. 10 Warning Signs, Is Your Date a Deadbeat or Deadly? I'm sorry,
uh-huh.
I didn't give the title.
Okay,
thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for inviting me again. I appreciate you guys. You guys be blessed.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank
All right.
You.
Y'all take care.
Yeah,
all right.